reading the scriptures through a Jesus lens. It saddens me that over the years, often, church has wanted to impose Old Testament law on society. We've done it, and it's still around, and we see it in our own nation. We want to impose Old Testament law on society, and yet the early church, the way that they outworked the teachings of Jesus, was that lots of that stuff just was meant to fall to one side, wasn't meant to be governing for life. Yeah, I'll leave you to chew that one on over. They didn't have perfect people. Aren't you glad about that, hey? See big signs over doors, no perfect people allowed. You know, they weren't. You know, we can think, though, if once I get myself right with God, I'll be able to be used by him. You know, once we are as a church, a community, are really holy and really perfect, you know, God will really be able to use us. And yet, the guy who stands up on the day of Pentecost, Peter, has just had a major, major fail, a major, failure in God and let Jesus down in lots of different ways. And yet, just a few weeks later, God's letting him leave the church. Well, would you have let Peter take charge that day? I'm not so sure, really, you know. And then Jesus says to them, you know, stay in Jerusalem until you've got the Holy Spirit, and then you go off to the ends of the earth. What happens? The Holy Spirit comes. Do they go to the ends of the earth? No. They wait until they get persecuted, and then they go to the ends of the earth. God has to force them to go. We see prejudice right the way through the book of Acts. Peter is called to go to a centurion's house, a Gentile Roman soldier, go to his house and to share the gospel with him. And so Peter gets there and he gets in the door, and the first thing he says to him is, well, Jewish people don't normally go into Gentile houses. I don't really like you, in other words. I'm not used to coming into Gentile houses, but, you know, I suppose God's told me I've got to be here. Not the greatest way to open a message, is it, really, for me to come round to your house and say, well, I come around to talk to you about Jesus, but don't really like you. You know, that's not going to work too well, is it? And we see that throughout the New Testament, throughout the book of Acts, where there's this growing thing of them having to engage with communities that they weren't really comfortable with. How it moving from being a fundamentally Jewish religion to becoming one that is of all people groups and all nations. And we see something of the journeys that they have to go through in that. See, God calls us out of our prejudice, but even while we're wrestling with it, he's still going to tell us to go. He's still got to get on with it. We've still got to move. You know, in the context of all that is happening in our nation with Brexit and all those sorts of things, the different dialogues that are going on, let's make sure that as the people of God that we represent respect and love and honour for one another, no matter what our culture is, no matter the colour of our skin, no matter where we cut our backgrounds are from, we represent a community that is engaging and inclusive and loving and caring. You know, and that's what I think we see emerging there. But yeah, they've major fallouts. Barnabas and Paul, you know, I love Barnabas. Barnabas is the great, I always have this picture in my mind of Barnabas, the great big cuddly granddad. I thought, do you? Or is that just me? It probably is just me, you know. But Barnabas, son of encouragement. Barnabas, he spotted Paul when he was a young lad called Saul. Saul was a persecutor of the church. He had tried to, you know, probably locked up loads of different Christians, maybe even some of them had died, and then he gets converted, and I guess everybody's scared stiff of him, thinking, is this genuine, or is this just something? I've been thinking, is this just some sort of clever ruse to get inside the door? Is he just trying to get inside the workings of the church so then he can really start doing the persecution properly? But Saul notices him, Barnabas sees him and believes that this is a work of God. And so he goes and fetches him, and he gets him and takes him off to Antioch, and he trains him and he mentors him and gets him into leadership there, and he grows. And then a little while later, they start on their missionary journeys, and off they go together. And then another missionary journey later on, they had a young lad called John Mark who's been with them on the first one, and he lets them down. He basically clears off home and in the middle of the thing. And they have this huge fallout over it. In the next journey, Barnabas wants to take him, and Paul's saying, no, he can't, he's unreliable. And their dispute gets so severe, they fall out and go their separate ways. Two great heroes of the book of Acts have a bust-up in which they stop talking to each other for a little while. Now, you can see, I think you can discover if you look through the New Testament that they do patch it up and they sort of somehow get through that. But no perfect people allowed. Were they perfect people? No, they had doctrinal differences. We can look at that. And they got it wrong sometimes. I love this little story in Acts 16 where they're traveling around together. Paul's got this team that are traveling with him. And I always forget the exact places here, so forgive me if I just have to quickly look at my Bible on this one. So Paul and his traveling companions went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Then they came to the border of Mysia and they tried to enter, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing, come over here. And Paul, after he'd seen the vision, got ready and they all went down to Macedonia. In other words, twice, Paul had been leading them off in different directions. They tried to go here and the Holy Spirit stopped them. They got it wrong a few times. Then Paul turns up one morning and says, actually, boys, I had a dream last night. We've got to go to Macedonia. Is that like one of the calls you had the other week, Paul? You know, they were tolerant with people making mistakes or getting it wrong or not getting the vision quite right. And yet they still kept working with one another, you know. And we've got to be like that with each other, haven't we? As we support one another in our visions and journeys, and sometimes we're going to get it wrong. Sometimes we're going to get the strategy wrong. Sometimes we're going to get the vision off beam. But we still have it. They still had an openness to hear God afresh and then go for it again, really. A church that grows, like the New Testament church, like the Book of Acts type church, are ones that are willing to experiment, are willing to get it wrong sometimes, and still keep experimenting and then and still keep looking for the direction of Jesus, and when they get it, to go for it. Okay. Must move on. Quick. They didn't have Bible colleges, but they did have discipleship. Now, again, please don't misunderstand me here. I'm just trying to, Bible colleges have their place, and I think it's really, really important. And I think given that we've had 2,000 years of theological wranglings and what have you, it's probably really useful that we have them. But learning lots of information won't make you like Jesus. Learning lots of information won't cause our churches to be able to engage with the world and be representations of Christ. Choosing to be like Jesus, choosing to follow him into the ends of the earth, saying to him, here am I, Lord, send me. Now, Bible college might be a process in that for us, but they didn't have that then. They just had this hunger to become like Christ, to learn more about him, you know, to fit in their learning processes wherever they could. You know, so Paul, the great Bible teacher, turns up one night, and so they just listened to him through the night. I love the way that Luke records it. Paul went on and on during the night, and part of that adventure that evening, a young man listening got so engaged with what Paul was saying that he fell asleep and fell out the window. And Paul, he raises him from the dead, doesn't he? But all I'm just trying to illustrate there is that they were hungry and they made use of the time that they had. They had to fit it in. They made it happen. They wanted to be like Christ. And in fact, actually, it says that they devoted themselves to the things that they were doing. We'll come to that in just a moment. They didn't have political favor, but they did have persecution. Interesting that. We think that if we get political favour, then that's going to somehow open up the gospel for us. And if you can get it, it's really useful. It is really handy. So don't, again, misunderstand me. I'm not saying we shouldn't try and get that. But the point I do want to get here is that they grew anyway. That they had the authorities chasing them down in practically everywhere they went. If you read through the book of Acts, you see it again and again and again, having opposition from the authorities, whether it's the Jewish authorities or the Roman authorities. And yet they still grew. They still made it happen. They still broke through. And when we're talking about the persecution they had here, they weren't persecuted because they wanted to impose, because of their religious beliefs about, I don't know, sexuality or working laws or whatever it may be, the sorts of things that we often think that we're going to get. They were persecuted because they said that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. That Caesar was not the king, was not God, or that the Jewish religion now was not complete without Christ. Their persecution was not around the way that they were trying to impose their views on society. Their persecution was because they were saying, we believe that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the God that you should follow. That was where the root of their persecution lay. And yet they still grew. They still went for it. And in modern day times, we've seen the same. China is a classic example of in the days of Mao Tse-tung, when he basically banned Christianity and they had to go underground. And so they couldn't have big public gatherings. They couldn't just had to just be the church. It grew more rapidly than it had ever. One of the fastest expressions of church growth in modern history is one that was banned politically. Isn't that incredible? And then some things that they did have. I ran out of thinking about things that they didn't to compare here. So the power of the Holy Spirit. They did have the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll probably unpack this one a little bit more in a couple of weeks' time. The beginning of the book of Acts is probably the prophecy that is quoted there on the day of Pentecost from Joel. It's probably one of my favourite passages of Scripture. What we see here is that they had this ministry. So we're going to think in a moment that they had to put in a bit of effort. But this was a community that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. There was 120 people faithfully meeting to pray, gathered. Both men and women meeting to pray. They were a radical community anyway, because that didn't happen in the Jewish context. There are men and women meeting to pray together and certainly not to learn together. And they're together, this radical community, 120 people together. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. And Peter gets up and says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel years ago. And then he describes this prophecy that basically says that this work of the Holy Spirit is going to empower God's people to reach to the ends of the earth, for men and women to be used, old and young, even children will speak for God. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit, he's saying that the Holy Spirit, as he works out through the church, is going to break through every racial barrier. He's going to break across gender barriers. He's going to break across age barriers. Everything that, so those things that in society, when society is walking away, I would suggest, from the perfect norms of God, the things that create tension in society, the Holy Spirit's going to help us as the church to be different to that. That's why it's sad when we create gender limits, or we say to children, we don't think you can hear from God. Yeah, or we allow racism into the church. We are directly opposing and grieving the Holy Spirit, I would suggest to you. Because that was what the vision of this new church was meant to be, and the Holy Spirit was working in that. Building shook. Can you imagine that? Prayer meeting tonight. We're in there praying away, and suddenly there's so much power and the building starts to shake. And John's sitting in the corner going, oh my goodness, we've just got this thing up. Now God's rattling it down, you know. And I was at a Methodist church, prayer meeting at a Methodist church once, and prayed this prayer, you know, God, shake us. And afterwards the minister said to me, he said, it's all right for you lot who don't have your own buildings when you start praying those sorts of things, you know. Wow, imagine that. And I mean, what was God saying through that? I guess he's saying, you've got to shake things. There's so much enthusiasm here, and there's the anointing of the Spirit in this. They spoke, as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word of God boldly. If you're feeling a little bit timid with your faith, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. That's what these guys were about. It wasn't just that they had this message of Jesus and there was this great synergy going on amongst them. These guys had something of the Holy Spirit in them that caused them to be bold. You know, don't think to yourself that we can't be bold because that was just for people in Bible times. Yeah. Spiritual gifts, we see people prophesying, we see people being raised from the dead, we see demons being driven out, we see people being transported from one place to another. You know, all sorts of different spiritual people speaking in other languages and encouraging themselves in prayer in that way. And yeah, you've got this guidance, Paul being told where to go and different people being told where to go, etc., etc. Holy Spirit was at work in this book of Acts church, and it's part of what they needed to grow. They had strong spiritual disciplines. And I just wanted to just very briefly touch on this, because I think we get ourselves in a real sort of mental twist on this sort of stuff, okay? And if I step on any theological corns, I'm really sorry, but I'm just going to say what I think. Is that right? Because I think that sometimes we get so hooked up with this fear of wanting to seem that anything that we do is dependent on us, because we want to all, you know, that, oh no, it's not me, it's God will do it, you know. that actually we downplay the place of discipline, of spiritual discipline, of working hard for God. The reality is there is Jesus that does it through us. It is the Holy Spirit that works in us. It is God that works through us to make get his will done. And so when we actually, in the end of the day, when we see things are going well, we give glory to God. We say, God, this is a reflection of who you are, outworking it in me. But the reality is, it seems that God works a little bit more when people are praying. God works a little bit more when people are fasting. God works a little bit more when people are giving. God works a little bit more when we're serving. You see, it does matter whether how we live. It does matter whether we are putting in the work as well. It does. And so, you know, let's just get over ourselves on this stuff and get to grips with the fact that if we want God's kingdom to be expressed fully in our community, we've got to do something about it. We've got to put some effort in. We've got to work hard. We've got to put some... That's not legalism. That's just giving your life for a cause. That's just saying, I believe in this. I've got energy. I'm going to make it happen. You know, that's what it's about. Brothers and sisters, let me just say to you, I believe that that the two great ingredients to make these things happen is being dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit and working as hard as we can. It will happen then. That's what I think we've got to get to grips with. So, final thoughts. It was, for this church, all about Jesus, though. It wasn't about building great churches. It was about taking the message of Christ to the ends of the earth. They found something in Jesus that changed their world, and they wanted others to know it. You know, Jesus commissioned them. He spoke to them. You know, Jesus was still at work in the book of Acts. We see him talking to individuals, encouraging people, strengthening them. He appeared to some of them. He was the message, and he was their passion. Church must be about Jesus. It mustn't be about wanting a great name in our community. It mustn't be about, being clever and all those sort of things. It must be about Jesus. If we're not proclaiming and representing the name of Christ, we're not church. We're just an organization. So, next month, go. Do we have an inclination to go? There is a passion, what I would call a missional impulse, in this New Testament church in the book of Acts that transformed the world. I want to invite you over the next month, okay? We've got 28 days now from tomorrow to the end of the month, okay? 28 days, 28 chapters in the book of Acts, okay? And so I want to invite you to do two things this month as we engage with this. What I really want to just appeal to you is to dream dreams, okay? To dream, dream. Let's believe God. I don't want to just be a gathered community, do you? I want to be a community that changes the world because of the message of Christ. That lots of people find Christ, lots of new converts. You know, let's dream some of those dreams and get out of the box and go for it. But two things I want to just ask us as part of that journey this month, I want to invite you to do. Firstly, I want to just invite you, and you might do this already. If you do, that's great. Just every day for the next 28 days, just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh. Just to fill you afresh, to fill you with boldness, to fill you with his vision. You know, just ask the Holy Spirit more of him in your life each day. And then I want to invite you to read one chapter of Acts every day for the next 28 days. Is that okay? One chapter. I know you might have your own Bible readings and stuff, but you can squeeze that in, okay? And then I'm going to invite you to do, when you read that chapter, just to jot down very quickly what you feel that says to you. And in particular, in relation to church growth and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you see other things as well, that's great, okay? But just maybe ask yourself, what is this saying to me about church growth? And what is this saying to me about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? If you want to ask yourself a third question, you could say, how does this make me fall deeper in love with Jesus? Okay, you could ask that one as well. But those two is really what I want to invite us to do. If you're on Facebook, I don't know whether we've got this slide. We could look that one up, Andy, actually, if that's on the notices. It's partly the notices here. If you're on Facebook, we do have a closed That sounds very terrible, doesn't it? But a closed Facebook group, okay, in which we can share thoughts together. You know, as somebody who talks, I sometimes, if I'm allowed into my tiny little world inside my tiny little head here, but sometimes I do find myself thinking, you know, why do I get up and talk every week, you know? Because I love to learn in conversation. I love to hear what other people have to say. You know, no one person has a monopoly on truth or revelation, do they? Or on wisdom. And so it's great to be able to hear one another and listen to one another's thoughts. So as you're reading, if you're on Facebook, and if you're not, you could get on it, you know, but if you are, then we have this little Facebook group, and really would love you to just join that group, link into it, and then just write your reflections on your reading of that chapter each day, if you can. If you can't do it every day, just do it a few times during the month, okay? Just write what you think that chapter is saying about the work of the Holy Spirit, about church growth, and anything else that you want to put on there, that's fine as well. Yeah? I'm excited about that, because I know that I'll hear things that I haven't seen. When I listen to what other people have to say, I see things, I get excited about things like that. And I pray that during this month, that will be a mechanism for us as a church to capture something fresh in God and to grow as a result of that. Is that okay? Guys, can you come and lead us? Yeah.